I've been Proverbs. Let's go to Jeremiah. Chapter 16, verse 1. And mine has the little subtitles. And sometimes the subtitles just tell it all. The Day of Disaster. Does that not sound like a 1970s movie? Burning inferno and the hurricanes. Oh, by the way, keep an eye on the weather. It's Timothy. Keep an eye on the weather. We have had, what's it lately now? They're having, somebody told me their parents are living in Puerto Rico, and they have had like 50 straight nights where they've had tremors. That these people are actually sleeping on the door, outside the door at the house. They're afraid the house will cave in on them. There's just a lot of stuff going on. Or warning signals, if you are, or I think the term sometimes is used like quickening of a woman with a baby. A lot of labor pains going on in this world. Then the Lord came to me and said, you must not marry or have sons or daughters in this place. For this is what the Lord says about the sons and daughters born in the land, about the women who are their mothers and the men who were their fathers. They will die of deadly diseases. They will not be mourned or buried. Wait a minute. Die of deadly diseases. Anybody been following China lately?
Yeah.
You know that the national, them guys that fly the big birds around here, satellites, have taken pictures. And outside that city, Wong Tong or whatever it's called, there's amount of sulfuric oxide, something like sulfuric oxide gas, higher, multiple times higher than anywhere else in the world. The gas is only produced when carbon-based or flesh is burned. There's so much deaths going on over there that they are burning bodies. Nobody has time for the mourning or the burying. What does it say? That they will die of deadly diseases. This is worse than the SARS. And one doctor has predicted this is going to be a regular flu event going on. That is not a one-time shot. They will die of deadly diseases. They will not be mourned. They will not be buried. They burn them in the field. They will be like refuse lying on the ground. They will perish by sword and famine. They've had pictures of Chinese policemen chasing people down that are evidently trying to escape or something and giving them shots. Now, the word was they couldn't tell if that woman they caught was knocked out, shot, or killed, shot. But they're giving them shots and making them incapable of resisting. Going on. Dead bodies will become food for the birds, the air, and the beast of the sea. Now, this is not the only time in the Bible where it tells us about things we should not do. If you look in the book of, all the way over here, 1 Corinthians, the whole 1 Corinthians chapter 7 is Paul's marriage treatise. But I'm going to give you on 25 is the one I'll bring up. Now about virgins, unmarried women, I have no command from the Lord, but I have a judgment as one who by the Lord's mercy is trustworthy. All right. You get the message from the Holy Spirit. Okay, because of the present crisis, I think it is good that you remain as you are. If you're married, do not seek divorce. If you're unmarried, do not look at a wife. Do not look for a wife. If you do not marry, you've not sinned. If a virgin marries, she's not sinned. But those who marry will face, turn the page, troubles in this life, and I want to spare you. Now, Paul is writing this about 500 to 700 years after what Jeremiah was told by God to tell the people. In the times of stress and distress, yeah, that the events going on in family rearing, in courtship, and having children and all, can become very much an obstacle. The troubles in this life, I would spare you. He says, the time is short now. Now, Paul wrote that 2,000 years ago. But in the eye of God, how long is time?
1,000 years.
Yeah, so we don't know. You know, that 2,000 years may be yesterday. You know, we don't know. And when we're dead and with him in heaven, time won't mean anything to us anyway. It is just today. It is just an event that's going on. So both these gentle writers have given us a tremendous warning about their reasons he's trying to warn us. Now, Israel has brought this on itself. Remember, they've worshipped the false gods. This entire book of Jeremiah is about worshipping the false gods, trying to straighten them out. Because the big hammer's coming. I don't know if we'll get this far with the big hammer today or not. But the big hammer, of course, is Babylon. This is prior to Babylon. In Babylon, there's a commercial on TV about if everything gets dirty. There's this guy leaning over a bathtub, scrubbity rubbity dubbity, and then he gets in one of them Mr. Clean eraser pads, like that. He drops it and he cleans the whole bathtub almost, you know. What was I talking about? Oh, it took a long time to get in bad shape, and things aren't going to get that fixed. Well, he goes on. Let me turn it back over here. So you have the children, the mothers and them, are going to be in bad place. This is what the Lord says. Do not enter a house where there is a funeral meal. Now, we didn't invent carrying dinners. Neither did the Baptists or the Methodists. The Jews were doing this 2,500 years ago. They would carry a potluck in. You all heard that story, don't you? Teacher said, bring some religious symbol in and explain why it's part of your religion. And the first kid comes in with a yarmulke and he says, I'm Jewish and it's the hat we wear. Good. Second kid comes in with a rosary and I'm Catholic and this is the chains we wear and we pray the rosary. Good. Third comes in, cat comes in with a casserole. Teacher said, you're Methodist. A funeral meal. And most of us have been to. We've even had them here. But back home, it's almost, we had a committee at the churches. Who's going to do the funeral dinners? Jill, you've done the same thing, huh? I bet most of y'all have you? If you're from the country, now I don't know about New York City or Bostoners, but country people, they've carrying dinners. And they'll sit and talk a long time. Your family, when there's carrying dinner, they end up playing rook and fussing each other for the next 3 hours. Talking about the dead person, how bad they were. Do not enter a house with a funeral. Do not go to mourn or show sympathy because I have withdrawn my blessing, my love, and my pity from these people, declares the Lord. I don't feel sorry for them no more. You've heard people say, or maybe you said about somebody yourself, they had it coming. The way they were living, you had to know it was going to happen. I looked out there in that scaffold, I said, somebody going to fall. I don't want to be any of them. But, you know, sometimes it works that way. You've never been on an interstate, or particularly when it's a rainy, or foggy, or snowy day, black ice, you say, that person's going to be in trouble. You're about a mile or two down the road, they're down the ditch. And you say, ha! No, you don't. Yes, you do. Both high and low will die in this land. They will not be buried or mourned. No one will have cut himself or shaved. There was a lot of people who did cuttings back then. In a time of sadness, they would either shave their hair, shave their beard, shave their body, or they would actually make marks on their bodies to show signs of suffering. They wanted to suffer. He said, nobody's going to do that for the dead. Not even for a father or mother, or anyone who would give them a drink to console them. Why would somebody be in a position where a friend or maybe even a stranger, therefore, and something happened to him and you wouldn't say, man, I feel bad. What can I do to help you? Let me give you a date and see if you can draw this together with me. For those of you who were knowing what I'm talking about, August the 13th, 2004, Charlie. So many people were bowed out, devastated, wrecked, car wrecked, not a lot of life lost, but in a position, how can you feel sorry for somebody else's roof that blew off if your whole house blew over, or your roof blew off, or your tree ran across your car? That the devastation at this time, and he's talking about, will be so widespread that you really can't feel sorry for anybody else. Charles. Yeah.
Just like when they had the Spanish flu went around the world. Neighbors couldn't help neighbors because you didn't know if they were sick or not.
Do all of you know the Spanish flu? It was brought over right near the tail end of World War I. And by 1918, it was a pandemic. More people died in America from the Spanish flu than died in the war itself. That's how bad it was. And there was hardly any family who was not affected. My grandmother's mother died. She just had her sixth child, and she was weakened. And she died from the Spanish flu. So it was everywhere. And you could hardly go anywhere, as Chuck said. Let me give you another one. Now, most of us do not have no intention to debate the politics of this, but many of us knew probably several families in the late 60s or early 70s who lost fathers, brothers, sisters, mothers to Vietnam. Or go back years before that to Korea or even to World War II. And it was hardly a block on a street in a pretty large city particularly that did not have a gold star. I turned it off. It can't be ringing. I am sorry. I know I turned it off. Somebody want to handle a sales call? You're welcome to. But did not have a tragedy. So it's hard. You can say, I know how you feel, but if you're devastated and you're locked out and poor, how can you help somebody else? That's how bad this is going to be to Israel. It will be how bad it's going to be to Israel. That's in the 700 BCs. It's going to be that bad 70 AD when Tiberius comes in with the Romans and rim wrecks Jerusalem. And it will be that bad in the latter times. That's what the message Jeremiah is given to them. This is what God said. Before your eyes and in your days, I will bring an end to the sounds of joy and the gladness and the voices of the bride and the bridegroom in his place. In ancient Israel, and it even happened in the time of Jesus, when there was a death in a city, particularly if somebody powerful or wealthy, they would hire professional mourners. A group of women would go up and down the streets crying and wailing to bring attention to the loss of that family. Now, there were a couple of Israel governors, if you want to say that, or kings, maybe like Herod and stuff, that they had a plan that when they died, I think Herod and Caligulus, I think was the other one, that planned when he died, they wanted thousands of Jews killed through the whole area so that everybody would be mourning and crying. And everybody would think it was their mourning for his death. So that is not unusual to be mourning, crying, upset, and be widespread. When you tell these people all of this, they'll ask you, why has the Lord decreed such a great disaster on us? Why is God picking on us? That's what people are going to say. And you say to yourself, really? Really? Does anybody here listen to the radio news? I'm in a truck a lot. How many people in a week's time have been arrested, officers, the guy that got in the gunfight with the two police officers trying to, because his license plate didn't light him on, the pastor jumped out and started shooting, they killed him. I think this guy had like 19 arrests on him. Why is he out of jail anyway? It was a question I'd have to ask. Well, he's out causing havoc and trying to kill two cops. But there's going to be that much evil. At that time, has it changed? Let's see. Owen, I'm going to assign to you the best memory in here. Only because I'm not going to tell anybody else how old you are. Do you remember when there was supposed to be a commie under every stone? Everybody you worked with, you worked to the right, the left. One of the three of you was going to be a communist or a Russian empathizer or infiltrator or something like that. And you looked around for everybody and you didn't trust anybody. Remember that they paid children in Russia to tell on their parents. The Germans the same. Turn your neighbor in. You'll get something better. Matter of fact, if you turned a wealthy person in, if they were Hebrew, you got to keep part of the money that they stole from them when they put them in Dachau or Auschwitz or one of those. So there's a lot of that stuff going. Is it any different today? Socialism? I just think there's a lot of things going on where people are turning against each other. If you don't believe me, read what happened to Bloomberg yesterday in the news. They found a speech he'd given like 5 or 6 years ago and busted him pretty hard of his own words. There's a lot of that turn around on top of people. Who was waving at me? And half of them were. There's another thing. Chuck, hold that thought for a second.
Connie and I put a sign in our back lot when we were living in Punta Gorda. The sign said, Christians stop socialism. And we put that in there 15 years ago.
You're still there?
We are now.
Oh.
Nobody will believe.
You haven't had a communist follower yet?
No.
I don't want to say McCarthy. Well, McCarthy, Joseph McCarthy. Remember the trials and what went on during that period of time. So we've brought a lot of this, I guess, on ourselves, but have we stopped anything? Has people changed their lives at all? The answer is no, Dwight, they haven't. But we can do it one at a time. We can't change the world, but we can sure change our situation and those that we are around, those we can touch. How important. Is that all? Yeah, that well, Janet said most of that generation's gone. Today is a celebrated day in the state of Florida. If you have anything to do with education, you know what today is? No. It's not my birthday either. Today is the last day of Common Core. Starting tomorrow. The teachers will be required, and to graduate, the children will have to head courses in math, wow, language, and civics. And civics. Have not had civics done here in years. In years. So, I don't know much about DeSantis, but this was all his doings. Whether you like him or not, this was his doings. But civics, really. I mean, go up and ask somebody. In ninth grade, Janet? Well, you went to an elevated school, though. I know where you went. Kentucky. And they taught them basketball and civics. Same thing. Go up and ask somebody. What are the three parts of the government? How many congressmen are there? How many senators are there? Who does the veto? Nobody. Did you hear Michael Jackson's latest song? How about Brianna? Or something like that. I mean, we really get distracted, don't we? The Romans died because they were involved in free food, welfare, entertainment, the circuses, they called them, the gladiators. And the last thing, Chuck, was what? Slave labor. That's why they had slave labor. That's what the wars were all about. So are we getting in that situation today? We're bringing in so many. Take this as I mean it, please. We have brought in so many immigrants, most of them illegal, because we can't find anybody to work. And the Mexican population are willing to. There's a bill, and I can't remember if this is in the state or the National Congress. I think it's in the... That's what they're still doing. Yeah, with the Muslims. And it become a Muslim country. There's a... Good point. There's a law, it may be state, that you're supposed to have to e-verify all your employees, except guess who's exempt from that? Seriously, huh? Farmers. Where are most of your illegal immigrants going to work? Either in the lawn and garden business, or cutting trees and grass, or the farm. Charles.
Fly around that asteroid, land on the asteroid, take samples up, and send samples back. It's all about the health.
I've never thought about that, Chuck, but I don't like watermelon anyway, though, so I guess we could. But the ones that pick strawberries would probably bruise them, so. Yeah. So there we go. However, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when men will no longer say, as surely as the Lord lives, who brought the Israelites up out of Egypt. Well, of course, that's their history. But they'll say, as surely as the Lord lives, who brought the Israelites out of the land of the north. And out of the countries where they had banished them. Pop up an Israel map, particularly with the areas around it from Babylon and Persia and all that, if you would, please. Just not thought about it, I told you earlier. For I will restore them the land I gave their fathers. So they had earlier talked about the north. The south, Egypt, coming out of Egypt. They all had that connection. They were all their ancestors came from Egypt. They talked about how terrible Egypt was. And we've seen Ben-Hur, and we've seen particularly the Ten Commandments with Charlton Moses Heston and all that kind of stuff. We've seen that. So we say, that's pretty bad. In American history, it's the same thing. If you remember, for a long time, they talked about all of what the British did to us. Then after that war was over with, it was the British again in 1812. Then that was over with, it was the Spanish War. And when that was over with, we fought against how many other countries? We've in the North and the South. Well, when we fought the South, that was so bad. Or when the North invaded the South, that was so bad. All these different things, it seems like there's a continuous step. It's because, man, you there yet? Yes or no? This guy broke his own bell the other day, so I don't know. Out of the land of the north. Well, the northern neighbors, if Cy can get me there. No, not Cy. If Norm can get me there, he's not there. We'll talk about it when he gets there. But now I will send for many fishermen, declares the Lord, and they will catch them. You got it? Bust it up some. Now spread it out. Now take it down. That's close. I wanted to go farther to the north and to the west, to the east, but that's close. Ridgely, go up first. Egypt. All the way around, Ten Commandments, cross, get over to Jericho, spread out, take it over. Okay, good. Come on down now. Centuries later, they are taken over by Syria. There, Damascus, Syria is right here. One of the worst places ever was there. Mr. Jonah, remember Mr. Jonah? That's where God had told him to go and preach against them. That's how bad Syria was. Talked about 10,000 people in that city who couldn't read or write. In other words, that many children. It was a big place. You keep on going, and we get into, you ain't got it. We get into the Babylonian area. And we get into all, even Iraqians. All of these people now, when they finally will get to come back, particularly from Babylon, when they come back, they'll be coming from the north. So we've had problems from the south. We've had problems from the north. And you know where the center of all the problem is? Really the center of the problem. Not the south. Not the north. From within. Because had they not sinned against God by worshiping false gods and continue to worship false gods, even when he straightened them out once, twice, three times, put them in time out and stuff like that, they still went back to their old ways. Jesus said, as the dog returns to its own vomit, so will the people worship their false gods. How sad that is. Now, you decide for yourself, is anything like that's happening today? And if you can't think of anything like that happening today, see me later, I'll talk to you about it. I will send for many fishermen, and they will catch them. And after I send for many hunters, and they will hunt them down on every mountain and hill from the crevice of the rocks, my eyes will see them all the ways. They are not hidden from me, nor is their sin concealed from my eyes. He's talking about the Hebrews. They can't hide from God. Dennis Day sang a song 60 years ago. I'll hide from the rock, but the Lord will still find me. Because he knows what we did. For their wickedness has defiled my land, and the lifeless forms, they're vile images, they're false gods, they're graven images, they're ones that are poured out of metal or carved out of stone or carved out of wood, lifeless. They have filled my inheritance with their detestable idols. I can imagine, because my mother would talk about, when she had the parents of the classics, you know, the Harry James, thank you, and Glenn Miller and that kind of stuff. Well, she started bringing in records of sinful singers like Doris Day or Frank Sinatra, and Perry Como. My grandmother would complain about that. And then we would bring in like Elvis Presley or the Beatles. And our parents would complain about it. And then my kids would bring in stuff that was popular back in the 80s. I'm thinking, turn that trash off. I don't understand a word they say. He'd say, huh? Isn't it amazing how that cycle keeps going over and over and over? And I don't know, do kids listen to music anymore? The kids listen to music with words anymore. You got the youngest one. Your youngin' listen to music? Like, can you sing the songs he listens to?
I don't know. Got
the earbuds in. You know what they're singing? Maybe the Russian national anthem. I don't know. My Lord, my strength, my fortress, my refuge in time of distress. Whoa, now we're appealing. And he goes on to talk about, we got to get back to God. That's what he's saying here. The whole thing is saying, he pointed out the problem. Judas, verse 17:1. Judas' sin is engraved with an iron tool, inscribed with a flint point on tablets of their hearts. It's in their system. We went to a concert, a Decimer concert last night. Well, it was good. We went to a Decimer concert last night, and it was all vocal. And it was not vocal, it was singing. It was a playing. And we were supposed to guess what song they were playing. And you know, if you listen to the same song over and over and over for years, they were playing Beatles music. And that came out because we heard it so much. It was in their mind. Now, I know that Norm's favorite song came in 1969 called In a God of Davida with the Iron Butterfly. But we won't talk about that. We're trying to find that music to play the bells with. But we're having a little trouble. But most of you could hear a Tom Jones. It's not unusual. We've heard them, that it's automatic for our generation frequently. That's how life is. We see it so much. We hear it so much. Give you a line and see if I can tell me where it comes from. The truth, you couldn't handle the truth. Remember that song? Remember that play? Who was it? Huh? Top? No. Jack Nicholson, Few Good Men, Colonel Jessup. Now, Top Gun has the other one that I heard this week. So that was you. Remember that line? Flying upside down? And Kelly McGinnis says, that was you. I thought, wow, I remember that line from that one thing. So we hear it. It's ingrained in us. You've heard the song, Jill? You've heard the movie? Make My Day. Oh, goodness. That was one, you know. Have you ever said that before, Dirty Harry? I mean, it becomes a part of our life. Well, good things can do that, or so can bad. So, y'all are connected. We understand what we're talking about. And it becomes that way. Charles. All right, let me guess it. From the shark movie, Jaws. We think we need a bigger boat. How about that? You know? So that's what's going on in our lives. And it's ingrained. I'm not saying these movies are bad, but things like that, we do it so often. I'm going to give you two words and see if you can't finish the whole sentence. Let me give you one word and see if you can't finish the whole sentence. Our. Our. O-U, our. Our Father. If I said our Father, boom, Lord's Prayer. Pretty much sets in, doesn't it? Because we've done it so often. Doesn't mean it's negligates what its meaning is. It means it's part of our lives. Or you, some of y'all know that song, the Jose song. Y'all know the song, Jose?
Jose, can you see?
Jose, can you see? Yes, sir. We can build Dana. We can get that one. All right, we go on. God says, my mountain and the land of your wealth and all your treasures, I will give away as plunder together with all your high places because of the sin in your country. Because of the sin in your country. Now, folks, we support here. Dwight supports here, and several of you all do as well, are CARE. Connie's called the CARE line. Pregnancy CARE line. I am sorry, but the guys in the black blew it in 1973 when they said there's a right to kill an unborn baby. And Virginia went hog wild crazy over it last year when you can get a baby born laying on a table and then decide whether to keep it or not. That's become a religion. Abortion has become a religion. Chuck.
When they said that, all those politicians stood up and clapped. They were so happy that they got that.
And we're wondering why we have hurricanes and earthquakes and plagues, et cetera. Connie?
I'm surprised God is as patient as he is with all the stuff that
Well, maybe he's not as patient as we think he is. Yeah. Yeah. Shooting in schools. Big interview last night on Channel 2 about guns in churches. A lot of the bigger churches are hiring off-duty deputies to carry in churches. And we all remember about a month or two ago when the man jumped up and killed two people in Texas, and then the third shot was one shot to the brain by the deputy that was a marksman. Baptist, McGregor Baptist.
Pardon?
From McGregor Baptist.
Yeah.
The big church in Louisville. Help me, Janet. Southeast? Bob Russell, his son Rusty preaches over here. He had, anywhere he moved, he had an armed guard with him at all times. He preached 17,000 people. So you don't know any locals you got there or people who would like to do him harm, because he was not afraid to take a stand. Those times are coming. Let's go down. So that whole chapter on 17 is about what's going to happen. Let's go to 19. Now, verse 19. We jump. We just jump in the middle of the saying. Jump. This is what the Lord said to me. Remember that phrase? He loves that phrase. In other words, here's the authenticity. I didn't make this up. God gave me this. This is what the Lord said to me. Go and stand at the gate of the people, through which the kings of Judah go in and out. Stand there on the other gates, also in Jerusalem. Say to them, hear the word of the Lord, the king of Judah, and all the people of Israel, everything, everyone living in Jerusalem, who comes to these gates, this is what the Lord says. Be careful not to carry a load on the Sabbath. They have gotten so far away that they weren't even worshiping God on the one day set aside in the Jewish nation, all the way back to the Ten Commandments from Moses. And they had the right, they had the legal right, if someone was caught doing work, to stone them to death on the spot, except for the ox in the ditch story. They had that right. And we don't know that it was exercised a lot, but it was there in the book to do that. Verse 24, but if you're careful to obey me, declares the Lord, and bring no load through the gates of this city, but keep the Sabbath day by not doing work on it, then the kings who sit at David's throne will come through the gates of the city with their officials. They and their officials will come riding in chariots and horses, accompanied by men of Judah. Verse 26, people will come to the town of Judah and the villages around Jerusalem from the territory of Benjamin and the western foothills. So Jerusalem could become free again. If it becomes a holy city. Keep an eye on this new bill proposed by the president and the council, and including Jared Kushner, who of course is an observant Jew, married to the president's daughter. Keep an eye on them about this talk about the, for lack of a better term, the two nations, the two governments of Israel, about separating the land, giving the Palestinians their homeland and the Jews their homeland. That's going to be a pressure point. Don't know if it'll be in the next couple of years, but to some of them, The Palestinians said, this is dead on arrival. DOA, we're not going to listen to a thing they say. Other ones say, well, we got to maybe go this direction. So those kind of things, sitting in the background, can have a lot to do with what goes on here. Do we know, do we ever know that we may not avoid sending men and women to the Middle East, but not this time to Syria, something like that, but to actual Jerusalem? Because it is in the mind of some people, all the way back to the book of Genesis, those who support Abraham and his descendants, I will support, and those who condemn Abraham and his descendants, I will condemn. And evidently, we have a president who takes that very serious. Whether he knows why or not, I don't know. Maybe it does come from his daughter and his son-in-law. But he seems to be standing on the side of Israel. I want to go to the next chapter, but we're not going to go to the next chapter because it's too long. But let's finish up with this chapter. 27 says, but if you do not obey me and keep the Sabbath day holy, but not carrying any load as you come through the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then I will kindle an unquenchable fire at the gates of Jerusalem, which will consume her fortresses. And that happened in Babylon invasion. That happened in the Roman invasion. They actually started fires inside the temple, so that the gold that was put in between the stones to seal them up, like we would use them. Y'all know the term chinking? When you did with a log cabin, you put something in between them, then you would fill it with mortar. That's called chinking. They used the gold for chinking of those stones. The Romans built fires inside the temple so it'd get hot enough, because gold has a very low, straight gold, not 5 carat or 20 carat, has a very low temperature, and it would melt. They say gold just ran down the steps. So the fire, an unquenchable fire, was actually going to be built in Jerusalem. Any questions? Yes, ma'am, Miss Denise. Yeah, it's a good one. It was made by a Christian group, was it not? That's what I thought. Was it made by Robbie Benson's group or somebody that was in a famous movie before? Do y'all remember the movie Christmas Story, with the guy who would shoot your eye out? Ralphie ended up becoming a Christian and a Christian movie producer. Kirk was? Well, that didn't surprise me at all.